Hello and welcome to the e-commerce podcast with me, your host, Matt Edmondson. It is great that you're here. It's great that you're with us. Let me just turn that music down a little bit. There we go. It's great that you're here with us here on the e-commerce podcast. This is a show all about helping you deliver e-commerce. Wow. And to help us do just that, we're having a chat with Campbell Payton, all the way from, just on the outskirts of sunny London. Yes, a fellow Brit. We're going to be getting into all things today to do with mobile commerce. We're going to be having a great chat about apps, about mobile, about selling things on your phone to your clients. The list goes on, so you're definitely going to want to grab your notebooks, grab your pens and join us. I'm actually looking forward to this one and chatting this through. So yes, that's what we're getting into. But before we do that, let me give a quick shout out to the wonderful e-commerce cohort, which enables us to bring you this show. Yes, it does. The e-commerce cohort is our monthly mastermind group that you can be a part of if you run an e-commerce business. It's pretty inexpensive. There's some great stuff in there. Workshops on how to run your e-commerce business better. And also you get to watch the live recording of this show. So if you want to know how to support this show, if you want to keep us on the air, come and join us in the cohort. Of course, if you don't, just write me a letter and let me know. That would be really awesome. But if you do, check out e-commerce cohort at ecommercecohort.com. That's ecommercecohort.com. And of course, if you are new to the show, a big warm welcome to you. If you haven't done so already, check out the website, ecommercepodcast.net, where, incidentally, you can also sign up to the newsletter. And every week, we email you the links and the show notes and all the good stuff from each of our guests. They come to your inbox automatically. So if you sign up to the newsletter, all the stuff that we're going to be talking about today, all the notes, all the links, all the ways to connect with Campbell, that'd already be in your inbox. So why not check that out at ecommercepodcast.net. Now, shall we meet today's guest? I think we probably should. Campbell Payton, who is a trailblazer in the mobile tech realm and a maestro. I love that word. A maestro of app commerce. As the co-founder and CEO of StoreLab, he's turning the world of mobile marketing on its head. One push notification at a time. Oh yes, with a knack for social media wizardry and a history of dancing with Fortune 500 giants, Campbell is the go-to guru for unlocking the secrets of success in today's digital bazaar. What an intro. Campbell, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good.
Lovely intro. That was very nice.
Yeah, Sadaf, I think, has a little bit of fun with those intros, which is quite funny. The go-to guru for unlocking the secrets of success in today's digital bazaar. It's very well-written prose there. But good to have you on the show, man. Now, at the time of recording, of course, you're the first recording of 2024. We're recording this in January 2024. I don't actually know when it's going to come out, and I don't know if I've just seriously dated the episode. But did you have a good break? Did you have a good holiday?
I did. I was in Sacramento in the US with some family, with lots of kids that are not mine, but nieces and nephews. Very exciting Santa and Christmas-filled break with not a huge amount of rest.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, no, fair play. Kids are great, and especially if you can hand them back at the end of the day.
Exactly.
That's a wonderful thing. So you're all the way back from Sacramento. You're based just outside of sunny London. Just tell us about StoreLab, what you guys do, what sort of things you've got involved in over there.
Sure. So yeah, StoreLab, we are essentially a software development company at our heart, but we make a platform for anyone to build a mobile application of their store. We have about 35 employees that work in Farringdon. And yeah, our software allows you to take a Shopify store. At the moment, we are just on Shopify, but we're planning to be on Wix, Squarespace, and others this year, and then make a mobile app of your Shopify store without any coding required. And I'm sure we'll get into the reasons for it a bit later on. But yeah, I personally believe that commerce will be bigger than e-commerce at some point, and it is the easiest way to retain your customers, generate lots more profits out of them. And what it really does in a nutshell is take a customer that's going to buy two or three things a year and make that customer buy seven or eight items from you.
It's interesting, this whole mobile app thing. And this is one of the reasons I'm looking forward to it. We've gone through different phases in our own e-commerce journey. For the listeners that listen to the show who don't know, I run my own e-commerce businesses. We have Cohort. I do coaching, consulting, all that sort of stuff. But fundamentally at heart, I am an e-commerce entrepreneur. We have our own e-commerce businesses. I'm just about to launch a new one, actually, in hopefully about 2 or 3 months' time. And I'm especially interested to talk to you, Campbell, about what's going on there. But that aside, we have gone through all the various iterations that you can think of in e-commerce. I've been doing it since 2002, a little while. And we went through the phase of mobiles come out, now apps are a thing. So we then went and got an app developed where people could buy products from our website, manage their customer account. And then we had the advice given to us, get rid of your app and just do the web stuff super well and optimize that on mobile because no one's using mobile apps anymore. Now what you're saying is, actually, no, this is now seems to have come full circle again. The apps are starting to become a bit more of a thing. And actually, apps are a lot more, and maybe this is why they're becoming a bit more of a thing, but they seem to be a lot more accessible than when we did our very first app, because they weren't. A bit like when we first did our first e-commerce website. Man, the tools that we have now compared to then are chalk and cheese. And I think it seems to have been the same with mobile apps, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the rise of the self-service builder and no code as a sort of as an industry has really revolutionized barrier to entry for e-commerce. Shopify, Wix, Squarespace, all of those platforms and WooCommerce to an extent makes it lowest barrier to entry, makes it easy. And we're trying to do the same thing with apps. It shouldn't cost you £120,000 to build an app or really well, or even more than that. We're trying to do that, lower the barrier to entry, give the apps to everyone, make them as accessible as possible, so everyone can understand the benefits of them and see the revenue that can be generated, because that's really why we're all here, is to see revenue and sales come in. And that's what our whole company is based around, driving revenue.
Yeah. Now, we'll get into that, especially how apps are connected with customer retention, which you mentioned, and drawing those customers in. I know you've got some tactics and stuff which we can get into about how that all works. But if I'm someone listening to the show, and to full disclosure, we have thousands of people listening all over the world, which is it still staggers me, if I'm honest with you. But brilliant, and I love it, and I love the fact that it's helping a lot of people. But we do have a wide audience, right? So some of them listening to the show will be thinking about starting an e-com website. But some of them will have just tinkered over the edge, made that New Year's resolution, and they're starting to go. They've got their Shopify store up and running. And then obviously there's a lot of people who have been around like me since Noah and since the dawn of e-commerce, really, and have got quite well-established stores, all on various different platforms, I'm sure. But all of that said, is what we're about to talk about useful for someone who is starting out in e-commerce as well as someone who is established in e-commerce, I think is a question that I'm asking. Just from an audience point of view, should I switch off or should I stay listening?
No, absolutely. Anyone who uses e-commerce at all should be interested in this. And I'm very happy to plug StoreLab and all the things about us, but one of our main goals as a company is to make app commerce as well known as possible. So no, you have 3 customers and you've just started your Shopify store. We have a company that launched their first socks in just early December. And they're making a load of sales through their own Shopify store and through StoreLab as a platform. Now, in my opinion, there is no time like the present. And what we tend to say to people is, if they have purchase intent, if someone is making sales, if people have purchase intent on their platform, then apps will work for you, regardless if you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah,
I won't say the word dinosaur. Or you're new to the game.
Yeah. No, I'm allowed to say it because I think I am. But that's okay. I'm still here. I'm still fighting strong. So you're using this phrase app commerce a fair bit. Let's define what that means.
Really, it's app commerce is making purchases through, that's what it is, an app generating you revenue rather than generating revenue through either a website or the mobile version of that person's website. And there is key distinctions between the two. So that's why I use the term app commerce rather than mobile commerce, because I think, it draws the distinction between someone just using the mobile version of a website through to an actual app.
And so, to be clear, you're not talking about web apps. You are talking about the actual app where you go to the app, the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. You'll search for your Acme Store app and you will download it and it will be installed on someone's phone. This is not a mobile optimized website. This is actual, I'm going to go to the web. I'm going to go to the App Store and download it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. That's just to clarify terms. And again, this is where, when we did our first app, man alive, it was, like I say, when I say it was complicated. So not only did we have to do all the coding, we had to go and obviously there was, I don't know if there still are, but there was a lot of loops we had to jump through, certainly where Apple was concerned, because getting an app on the App Store at that point in time was not straightforward. Let's just put it that way. I think it's probably a lot easier now. So why should I think then? Let's talk about some of the key reasons why, as a listener, I should be thinking about this phrase, app commerce, and why should I be thinking about it in relation to my personal Shopify business?
Sure. Okay. So there are three key reasons in our opinion. There are more than three, but for us, there are three key reasons why any e-commerce store should consider using app commerce. The first one of those is push notifications. Having an app on your phone gives you access to send push notifications through Apple or the Google Play Store to someone's mobile device.
Okay.
Push notifications have the highest conversion rate out of any marketing communication. They convert 15 times higher than email. They convert 9 times higher than SMS or text. They convert significantly higher than Google Ads or Facebook Ads. And they are free to send. So you don't pay cost per click. You don't pay cost per impression on a push notification that you sent.
Right.
My personal background is in performance marketing. I used to run a social media agency and then I was commercial director at the largest social media agency in the UK. We spent hundreds of millions of pounds a year off of brands on Facebook ads. And the reason I got into app commerce is when I found out that push notifications convert higher and they are free to send. That to me was a light bulb moment of this is going to be some of the future. I feel personally, and I'm sure you will have experienced it if you do Facebook advertising or social advertising, I'm sure most of your listeners will as well, your conversion rates from social have gone down through things like the iOS 14 update, the block tracking. The impressions are harder to get. Mm-hmm. Your cost per impression has gone up. For me, push notifications are what the Facebook ad platform was about 8 years ago.
Right.
They aren't regulated in the same way. And they are a much easier way of reaching your customers for a lot less money. So bucket number one is push notifications. Mm-hmm. That's the first reason. Reason number two comes down to experience. And this from two ways. First way is general fact of e-commerce life, which is that faster websites, faster experiences convert higher. Mobile apps, on average, are 3 times faster than mobile web.
Okay.
It's done a few things. One of those things being image caching. So when you open your app and you download the images for the first time, they are cached to your phone, so they load much faster. The second thing is the experience is down to conversion rate optimization. We and most app producers are able to make their apps for the specific device. So there's a few things that Apple and Google lock away from the web browsers that we are able to unlock and build around the screen and build around the device. So that you can then access those through an app as you wouldn't be able to on the mobile version of the website.
Okay.
So from an experience side, it is small amounts of features, but really it's speed. But really all of those things, the push notifications make people buy more, the speed makes people buy more, and the conversion rate optimization makes people purchase more at the same time.
Okay.
One last reason, and number three is retention or returning customer rates. I use those terms sort of interchangeably. If you can use app-exclusive products, app-exclusive discounts, drops, reasons to keep people coming back, if you couple that with the push notifications, being able to reach people in a more easy way, we have seen customers triple their returning customer rate in 3 months. So those are the three reasons, main reasons that we talked about.
Okay, so there's a lot there, but I've got a lot of questions now. So let's deal with the first one, push notifications.
Sure.
Again, just to clarify terms for those listening who might not know what a push notification is, this is just simply where your phone buzzes. And on my screen, I get them all. I turn most of them off, to be fair, from all the various apps that are on my phone. you made an interesting point here. So let's assume I've got 10,000 people who have downloaded my app. If I email out 10,000 people, let's say on a good day, I'm getting 15% of those people to open that email. So I'm getting 1,500. Let's get the maths. So I've got 1,500 people who are opening the email, and then I've got a conversion rate of whatever, 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%. What you're saying is with push notifications, and as best I understand it, Campbell, is if I send out 10,000 push notifications, so long as they've not disabled that push notification on their phone, that's getting through. So deliverability is going to be super high. So all of a sudden, it's not 1,500 people that are opening my email. It's, let's say, 7.5. I don't know if you've got any stats on that, actually.
Sure. We see around about 30 to 60% of people will open and engage with our push notifications.
Okay. So we've got massively increased open rates with push notifications.
So push notifications have the highest open rate out of any marketing communication as well.
Yeah.
But we tend to talk about conversions because most people really just care about the purchase intent after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just trying to figure out why there's an increase in person. I can understand it, I suppose. If I'm a loyal customer, I'm much more likely to download the app. So I'm already buying from the company more than once, right? I'm just trying to think of my own behavior. I don't think I would download the app of an unknown store onto my phone unless there was a bloody good reason to do it, right?
Wow, that's something, a very interesting point that you brought up. Once we finish this.
Okay, we'll get into that. But if I'm just thinking of the stores that I buy from regularly, actually, if they had mobile apps, I'd probably download them because it just saves me going to their website. I'm already logged into the account and I can just, a bit like Amazon, I suppose. Amazon's got an app on there. And so I'm just thinking of, because I've got that app on my phone, I'm a loyal customer, at least in my own head. I'm buying from them more than once. And I therefore am going to be much more likely to engage with the push notifications on it. Whereas on an email list, if I think about our email list, if we send out 10,000 emails, that's not 10,000 amazingly hot clients that have put this just to everybody, isn't it? People that have signed up to the newsletter, all kinds of stuff. And so I can see actually just by the very fact that I've taken the time to download the mobile app onto my phone, it probably puts me in a different league of client anyway.
Yeah. But also from an aspect of message hierarchy or information hierarchy, for me to see an email, I have to log into my Gmail or log into my email account to go through and read through those emails. I'm probably there for a different reason. I'm probably there to look at something else than open an email that is, you know, 15% off this clothing store. I'm not saying email marketing doesn't work, but if you look at your phone notification tray, everything that exists in there, alongside messages from your family, WhatsApps, text messages, phone calls, and then you have the push notifications from the company. So it is down to the company to make sure that they're not sending enough push notifications that are making people disable them. But the message hierarchy or the information hierarchy there is equal to WhatsApp and messages from friends and family.
Yeah.
So the reason that is you get the highest open rates is because you're there in the same level. Someone will see that message. They will understand it. They may not interact with it. They don't interact with all of them, but they will interact with some of them, which then pulls them back onto the brand. And that's essentially what most e-commerce at the moment is, just trying to get attention from people, come back to our company to see our thing. And this is push notifications are such a great avenue of doing that.
That's actually a really strong word, the word attention. You're trying to get people's attention. Because I've got one of those watches that buzzes whenever I get a new notification. I don't have that turned on for email, otherwise I'd be constantly looking at my wrist. And so I get how push notifications are much more likely to grab attention, a bit like WhatsApp marketing in a lot of ways. It's much closer to people because it's not yet been screwed up by marketers, right? So
this is what I mean about the unregulated aspects of it. It's like Facebook ads were 8 years ago, in the same way that you weren't expecting, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to just be bombarded by brands that are getting your attention because you clicked on one thing 6 weeks ago. That's how, for me, the push notification space feels. I know at some point down the line, they will start being regulated by Apple and Google more, so they bring your attention back. But at the moment, it's more of an unregulated space. And especially for companies that deal with things that are restricted, adult stores. I used to work for Love Honey. It's one of my favorite companies I've ever worked for. But you have massive problems if you're an adult store with advertising on Google or any social platform because of restrictions. Push notifications are not in that same league. If you can get someone onto the app, then they can receive notifications from you. And it's, yeah, again, it's your job to make sure that they're not explicit and they're not written in a way that's going to make someone say, I don't want people to see that or it's bugging me and I'm just going to turn them off.
Well, very ethics aside about whether or not you should run an adult company entirely. Maybe that's a different show. But what I'm intrigued by here, is there a way then that I as a company can do push notifications without having an app? Or do I actually have to have an app, a native app on their device?
There are ways that you can do that without it. But the problem with a native push notification is it will list where it's come from on top. When you send a native push notification from one of our apps or from any app, you see the name of the company followed by the message that you're trying to send.
Yeah.
If you use a service like OneSignal, which is a way of sending push notifications without an app, it will say OneSignal message and then the message that you're trying to send. So you're limiting the characters that you can send. And there are desktop push notifications, but I don't know of many people that enable those or anyone that does. I know turn off desktop
quickly. Yeah, yeah. They were a big thing about 4 years ago, I think, desktop notifications when they first came out. And you can see, but I just think it's an old tactic now. Whereas, and I'm sure somebody listening is going to email me in and go, Matt, you're wrong because I've made gazillions from desktop notifications. And all power to you. I think as a general rule, it seems a bit of an old technology. But you're right, it hasn't caught up with mobile. So there are services out there then, from what I understand you're saying, Campbell, is you can use services to do notifications, but it's not as good or as clear as if you do it through your own app because you own that. It's got your name on it. Whereas
there are also rich push notifications. It's sending a notification with a picture. So someone like soft hovers over with an iPhone or clicks on it in an Android, you see the item that you're trying to get the person to buy or another graphic that you can send. You can't send rich push notifications with a service that's not an app on your phone.
Okay. And so the service then with notifications, if I do WhatsApp marketing, I've got to pay somebody a fraction of a penny every time I send a message. I don't have to do that with push notifications.
Depends who you do your push notifications with.
Okay.
With us, you don't. We have a deal with the company that allows us to send them for fractions of a penny. If you use someone like OneSignal, I believe it's something like 13 pence or 14 pence per 10,000 messages delivered. So it's not very expensive. And we are not the only people who do the no codes app solutions. But yeah, it depends. It's a very cost effective way to send messages out.
But it's that intrigue. What you send there intrigues me, Campbell, if I can just dig a little bit further, because you use a company to do the push notifications with your app. Rightly or wrongly, I would have assumed that your app would have done the push notification. But you outsource it to a service for and on behalf of your users. Just explain that a little bit.
Sure. We are a startup. We've been around for 3 years. We are building our own push notification service that will send them out automatically from our position. Mm-hmm. However, we have a limited tech team. So we have had to build some things into our service. So yeah, we swallow that cost on our client's behalf. And within sometime in the next 12 months, we will have our own push notification service. But no, so we could concentrate on user experience and making the best product possible, we decided to outsource that at the moment.
But I imagine it's all fairly seamless and no one knows anything.
We have never had a downtime in push notifications.
So is the technology then to do the push notifications quite complex?
It depends on how deep you want to go into it. To send a push notification to every single person on your phone, anyone that has your app, is not super challenging. To send a personalized message that goes to an individual based on a item that they have viewed and only they have viewed, that is a little bit more challenging.
Oh, okay. So you're now personalizing the notifications then. So actually, you're going from what I would call an email blast, which is where you just email everybody. You're going, now let's pick out this subsection over here and let's just notify this particular group of clientele and personalize it a little bit. Is that, am I hearing that right?
Yeah, and especially when it comes down to the gold dust in commerce, the thing that everyone wants, the thing that generates you more revenue than anything else is the abandoned cart push notification. That piece of tech is usually what pulls most people when they hear, when we talk numbers and statistics, that's what brings people back, what brings people to the table to talk about it. Abandoned cart push notifications can recover up to 60% of abandoned carts.
Wow.
So that is almost unheard of in any other sort of style, if you think of how many abandoned cart emails you send out. The other thing about abandoned cart push notifications is you don't have to retain data. So this is something that we're going to talk about in a second in how you get someone onto the app. But say, for example, that I'm using a Shopify store and I want to send someone an abandoned cart email. I have to capture that email first. I have to ask that person to either sign up for an account or enter their email in a different way. If they download the app, they have bypassed that information input requirement. You can then, and they have felt to an extent that they haven't given anything up.
Yeah.
But you are then sending someone an abandoned cart email, which recovers huge numbers of abandoned carts. And again, it's free to send. And it's sent after a period of time that you can choose from someone adding something to the basket. That, yeah, is massive. And it's, yeah, probably the single thing in app commerce that makes people more revenue than anything else. Not saying the other reasons aren't important, sure. But one thing is, yeah, like I say, gold dust.
I see you preempted my next question in a lot of ways. I know when people sign up for email marketing, the law is getting more and more complex. GDPR, you've got California's got its own set of rules because it's California. Why would it not? How does push notifications with the app connect with all of this crazy legislation that's going on around the world at the moment?
So obviously we can't talk about every app commerce provider. Some people do it differently to us. All of our notifications that are sent are GDPR compliant because we as a company do not retain data.
Right.
It's put onto Shopify's position. So Shopify have to be the company that retain data, not us. So say, for example, that someone downloads the app, that information is retained with Shopify and on the native device. So we don't get user information.
Yeah.
You as a company, by using us, do not retain that information. You see a transaction when it comes through, listen, it's exactly the same way as it does someone buys through the website, but we do not get into the realms of any regulation from that perspective because the data is maintained by the customer and then by Shopify.
So if I've got, say, 10,000 customers and I've managed to convince 500 of them to download the app, for example, I'm assuming with the way that you've got it set up, and even if customers are not using what you've got set up, I'm sure it'd be an interesting thing to do, but is it easy to monitor which sales come from which channel? So I know that these sales have come through the app.
So yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons that we selected Shopify as our first platform to go after is we're a sales channel. We exist as a sales channel on Shopify. So I think on your Shopify dashboard, top left-hand corner in your analytics, you've got revenue, unless you're on Shopify Plus. And next one over, it's sales by channel. And you will see StoreLab listed there or any of the other app providers will be listed right there. And it will say online store and StoreLab. And one of the most exciting things for us is we've had customers where, you know, within the first month, we are 50% of their revenue or higher by getting people to use the app. And we're a sales channel just like any other. And that's where you'll see app commerce.
Fantastic. So what happens if, and I'm just thinking of all the, I personally don't run my sites on Shopify, but if I did, one of the key things I know about Shopify and that I really like about Shopify, certainly when we've used them in the past, is you can integrate other apps. So let's say I've got a subscription app or a membership app or something that's helping me grow my business. Does what you do integrate with that, or is it just a case of the app's the app and it's a separate thing?
It depends. We are always, what I say about having a limited tech team, we've all focused on integrations too. We partner with most of the major providers. Mm-hmm. If you're using Royalty Lion for a reward system, then yeah, we do that. Yop, Many, Recharge, many of the major Zapier's integrations we partner with. Mm-hmm. If you're using something completely obscure, that is not many, then the answer is probably not at this time. But we do have a a request service where if you want us to build something, we will do it. It just might take some time together, but yeah.
Okay. A lot of useful information there. So let's say I'm bored into the whole idea. I like the idea of push notifications. I like the faster experience. I like the bigger customer retention. Those two things we've not got into yet. But I do want to talk a little bit about strategy. So if I'm thinking, I'm going to try this system, I'm going to do a mobile app, how do I convince people to join that app? Especially because I want to come back to something that you picked me up on earlier about me not necessarily be willing to download an app if I'm a first-time visitor. So let's talk about how you get first-time visitors to download the app.
So this for me was my first question. We get lots of companies use our service, especially micro brands or really small brands. Yeah. And I know from experience of working with them, they don't want to take budget away from campaigns to spend on just getting people to download the app. And it really surprised me when I first learned about it. So the primary way that you get customers onto your app is by installing a mobile app banner. So what this is a little widget or a banner that exists on the mobile version of your website.
Yeah.
That gives someone a reason a reason to download the app. So we usually say you need to give someone an incentive that is monetary driven, but you don't have to. So this would be 5 to 10% off your first order, free shipping on your first purchase, loyalty points with your first purchase, free gift with your first order through the app. So you're giving someone an incentive to download the app when they have purchase intent.
Yeah.
So when they're going to buy something anyway, they would go and they would, download the app instead. The other thing that I really like about the mobile app banner is that it doesn't interrupt the purchase journey if someone doesn't want to do it. They dismiss the banner and they complete the purchase as they would on the mobile version of the website. We see between 85 and 90% of app downloads come through the mobile app banner.
Wow, that's a really high number. Yeah.
We also see about 20% of people, it's about 19-20% of people that download the app are first-time buyers who have never bought something from the store before.
So there goes my theory then, right out the window.
So as long as you're using the correct incentive, as long as you are giving someone a reason to download the app, and they will do it and they will stay there. So as I see the thing I said right at the start, what an app really does is it takes someone who's going to buy two or three things and it makes them buy six or seven. Mm-hmm. First time buyers are retained on the app. And this is not a foolproof solution. People will download the app for the incentive and then leave. People will download the app and they will turn off push notifications. But the vast majority don't. Mm-hmm. And that is why, that is how you get people onto the app, which is a much easier solution than most people expect.
That's really interesting, such a high number of first-time clients. You've obviously worked with a lot of people, 35 staff. You've got a significant number of people on board. If you don't mind sharing just one or two maybe companies at top of mind that are doing this well, that are killing it, I'm really tempted just to go to their website, have a look and download the app, if I'm honest with you.
Oh, of course. So I'll tell you my favorite case study, a literal favorite case study of all of this. A lady called Carol from a company called Rock Those Curves. Rock Those Curves, okay. We spoke to her in September of 2022. She was doing her company as a side hustle. It was I wouldn't say a distraction, but she was not doing, I think, what she aspired to with it. She'd make a few thousand pounds in sales a month. Most of that was through Etsy or other platforms and not necessarily through her own Shopify store. We helped her with some mobile with some Facebook strategy to help her basically from my old experience and installed the app on her service. She has made £390,000 in sales in the year and a couple of months that she's worked with us. It's now her full-time job. She works 15 to 19 hour days that she's not super pleased with, but she's still doing that. So there's someone I love talking about. And when she first came to us, my target market are 55 plus. They will not use apps. We've categorically disproved that. Mm. I don't believe app commerce works for my audience. I don't think Facebook will work for my audience. All of those things. We've made her almost £500,000 at this point. Other company I talk about that I'm not saying that this is the right thing to do, but they do it really well. This is a company called Arable Apparel. I always struggle saying the name. It's Liberia backwards. Arable Apparel. They are a fashion brand that exists out of New Jersey. A lady, very impressive lady, sells around about $1.9 to $2 million worth of fashion gear a year out of her bedroom in New Jersey. We were 52% of her revenue from month one that we worked with them.
Wow.
Because she managed to convince all of her customers with a great incentive. I think it was really 10% off your first purchase to use the app, and then she's retained them. So yeah, those are two. There's another company, Mike's Dive Store. They are largest provider of diving equipment to Europe. This isn't just fashion apparel, it works across the board. We sold £15,000 worth of gear in their first week. Other companies are similar in the sports and equipment side. We have a few butchers that use it really well. So it is industry agnostic. The only thing I would say for that is the analogy of someone who's going to buy two or three things. It's difficult to get someone who's going to buy zero to one. So you know, a mattress provider, people don't tend to buy three mattresses in a year.
Right. It's
difficult for them to get used well. So yeah, multiple purchases, if repeatable purchases, that's where we really shine. But yeah, in the diving equipment analogy though, or Mike's Dive Store, someone may buy one BCD or jacket a year or even longer. That's £1,000 purchase, but then they'll come back for the mask. They'll come back for things. Yeah. They'll come back for accessories, and that's where you can pick them up to.
That's really interesting. Super powerful. You've preempted one of my questions: is who does this not work for? And so, if it's single purchase items, it tends to not work well.
Yeah, and the other thing of it is worth explaining what apps don't do, and they don't drive traffic.
Mm.
So you need to have traffic coming through to your website. You need to have it coming to your online store. This is not going to revolutionize your company if you're not driving traffic in some way. So it pairs really nicely with Google and Facebook ads. And you do take, if you want to go down the route of discounts on your incentive, you will take a hit on the first purchase, but you will have that person coming back and again. But yeah, they don't drive traffic and they don't work for companies where someone's only going to buy one thing in three years.
Fair enough. Yeah, I can't imagine actually, even if you optimize your app, no one's going to the Apple App Store to search for your widget or your product, are they really? I get that they don't drive traffic. But if you've already got traffic come in and you've already got a plan to create traffic, do you run ads? I don't know how this would work, but can you run ads direct to your app store? Or do you run ads that take them to the web store and then there's the mobile banner?
Yes, and we wouldn't run ads to the app store because unless the person has a real knowledge about the brand, Nike and Adidas will do that. But most of the people that we work with aren't well known enough for that to really work that well. Mm. Or you're using a personalized list that you've taken for and uploaded to Google and Facebook that your cost per click or cost per impression is going to be so high, it's just not worth it. You might as well drive to the website and then use the incentive-based banner to get them there. Encourage people to do social posting about their app and include it as a banner on the bottom of their email campaigns. On the desktop, they might have a QR code to scan. But yeah, no, we don't see the need to drive people to the app store, as well as what we're really trying to do is drive revenue. And we want someone to have purchase intent when they will download the app, because it makes them less likely to then turn off the notifications.
So my final question here, Campbell, before we start to wrap up, because I'm aware of time, but have you come across any stores that have gone, the mobile or the app commerce, as you call it, is working so well that I'm going to switch the website off and just run all my commerce through the app?
No. And that wouldn't work because of the way that the journey works. One day. Okay, so there is a thing that Apple and Google brought out a few years ago. It is years now. It hasn't really taken off. And it's called an app clip or a Google Instant app. they tried to bring this out for app streaming rather than app downloading. So if I went to Google and I looked for the Nike app, then I would open an app clip of that store rather than download the app. The icon goes onto the homepage for 24 hours. And yeah, it's app streaming rather than downloading. I don't fully understand why that never really took off as it was supposed to.
Right.
But the way that you want someone to download the app is, again, with purchase intent. So they want them to be looking through your store. You want them to be looking through the clothing or the pictures of the products in whatever they are to then say, I'm going to buy that. I want the incentive. And that gets onto the app, and then the retention through there makes them convert better. If you just remove that experience entirely, then you're trying to sell someone on an e-commerce experience based on the Shopify app store, sorry, the Apple or the Google Play store, which is not a good experience for someone to check out products.
Very good. I have one more question if you have time. I'm aware of time, and as long as I'm not causing you to be late for something else. The not thing that you mentioned there about payments. So I go onto the app, buy $100 worth of product through the app. Am I paying 30% commission to Apple or Google for that purchase?
No, not at all. You don't pay because you're not using their payment service.
Right.
This is where the lines get a little muddled. You can use Apple Pay and you can use Google Pay, but you're not using the Apple Pay through the Apple developer system, and you're not using Google Pay through the developer Play system. You do not pay them the percentage fees. You retain everything. And our competitors are different. We're not all the same, but we do not charge percentage of sales either. You pay as you would normally, and you retain as much of that as you're taking normally.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Campbell, listen, I appreciate the insight here into app commerce. It's very fascinating. And offline, I think we need to have a conversation about a new store that we're doing. I'm really curious to see what your thoughts about that are. But if people want to reach out to you, if they want to connect with you, if they want to find out more about what you do at Store Labs, what's the best way to do just that?
I'm on LinkedIn, so please come and speak to me on LinkedIn. My name's Campbell Payton. Find me there. Or come to our website, which is storelab.app, where you can connect with me or any of our team to talk about apps. We'll be very happy to talk to you about it. And yeah, we do store audits all the time to make sure someone's ready. So yeah, please come check us out.
Fantastic. Fantastic. We will, of course, link to Campbell's information in the show notes, which you'll get along for free, along with a transcript at ecommercepodcast.net. Or they come into your inbox if you signed up to the email newsletter. And if you're not, sign up to it, because why would you not? Campbell, listen, thanks for coming on the show, man. Great to meet you. Great to hear what you guys are doing. Really intrigued by the whole thing. Genuinely really intrigued. And I'm always intrigued. It always fascinates me how these things come full circle again. So great to have you on. Thanks for your candid information and all the best with the venture, good sir.
No worries. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for having me. Right.
No, great. Loved it. And I hope you loved it as well. Also, a big shout out to today's show sponsor, the e-commerce cohort. Remember to check them out, ecommercecohort.com. If you are in the e-commerce business, it's just a great place to hang out with people, connect with people, and get some cool information and insights all at the same time. And be sure to follow the e-commerce podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, because we've got yet more great conversations lined up. I don't want you to miss any of them. And in case no one has told you yet today, let me be the first. You are awesome. Yes, you are. Created awesome. It's just a burden you have to bear. Campbell's got to bear it. I've got to bear it. You've got to bear it as well. Now, the e-commerce podcast is produced by Orion Media. You can find our entire archive of episodes on your favorite podcast app. The team that makes this show possible is the astounding and just simply amazing Sadaf Bainon and Tanya Hutzelak. Our theme music was written by Josh Edmondson. And as I mentioned, if you'd like to read the transcript or show notes, head over to the website, ecommercepodcast.net. So that's it from me. That's it from Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic week wherever you are in the world. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.